Shalom and welcome to Shalom Ariel and to part two of our 21st sermon in the book of Leviticus with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Have you ever thought about going back in time and participating in some kind of Second Temple activity? Well, we can do that right now. For example, Psalm 24 was always recited on the Sunday, the first day of the week. And we're going to walk through the six Psalms until we reach Psalm 92, which was recited on the seventh day, the Shabbat. So let's feel that connection. From Psalm 24, first day of the week. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Psalm 48, the second day of the week. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Psalm 82, the third day of the week. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. Psalm 94, for the fourth day of the week. The Lord is a God who avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth. From Psalm 81, for the fifth day of the week. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon, and when the moon is full, on the day of our festival. This is a decree for Israel. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of the thundercloud. Hear me, my people. If you would only listen to me, Israel, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Psalm 93, for the sixth day of the week. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from eternity. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. And finally, from Psalm 92, the seventh day of the week, a psalm for Shabbat. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. We thank you, Lord, that your word has been preserved and guarded over the centuries so that we today can celebrate these same psalms as did our first century ancestors. Be blessed as you listen into today's program with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon and Shalom Shalom.
As David said, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. That's a beautiful psalm. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hand. Psalm 19, the glory of God and his works are seen actually in the Messiah, who is the light of the world, our Moed. And this flows into the Shabbat and into the feasts of Israel. David further writes in Psalm 19, in them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. This is like our Messiah rising from his hosts of testimonies. Our son of righteousness, as he's called in Malachi, rising. He is also depicted in Psalm 19 as the bridegroom. Bridegroom, the rabbis in the Midrash Rabbah understood that the son of righteousness with healing hands is actually the Messiah himself who will rise when he comes. We also seen the words holy convocation, Mikrai Kodesh, also in verse 2, which describes our meeting with God. And we notice that a holy convocation can happen where? In our own dwelling, at home. At home. For this is where the Shabbat really begins. And we also spoke about how, after the creation, the Shabbat is next mentioned in Exodus 16 in relation to the manna being the Messiah. And now, after the mention of the Shabbat in Exodus 16, the next time we meet the Shabbat is in Exodus 20, where we find the Ten Commandments. This is where we're going to see some more of the essence of the Shabbat. Coincidentally, you know, last week's parasha, that is the portion of the Torah they read in synagogues around the world on Shabbat, was the parasha Beshalach. That is, they actually read the passage of Exodus 16 last week, the same one we studied. And today they have the parasha Yitro, which is actually from Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments. That is the same one we're about to study today. This is not the first time our study coincides with the synagogue's reading of the parasha. But along with this particular parasha today, there's also the Haftorah reading, which is a portion from the prophets. And you know which one it is today? Isaiah chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. This is a very famous passage that speaks of the Messiah, of the son and the child who is given, whose name is El Gibor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You know, it's always my prayers. Every Shabbat is my prayer that as they open up the Word of God, they will see God's redemption as it testifies of the presence of the Messiah. Let us now read the commandments from Exodus 20 given to Israel, which pertains to the Shabbat. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Shabbat day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You or your sons or your daughters, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Shabbat day and made it holy. The commandments begin with the words, remember the Shabbat day. It was one Rabbi Rashbam, who was Rashi's grandson, who wrote, remembering implies awareness of something in the past. Some understood from this word that the Shabbat is not a new commandment, since it's also mentioned before in Exodus 16 and at the creation. However, the word remember is simply brings us to recall what the Shabbat really emphasizes. That is our salvation, our redemption. Remember the reasons for your rest with God. While it brings us to the future to remember the worlds to come, it also brings us to remember how we are saved, how we are saved, believers today, through the blood of the Lamb. And along, see that the days and the month actually numbered there in the Torah. They're not named. The month that modern Jewish calendar uses, like Nisan, Tishrei, Tammuz, these are names the Israelites brought back with them from Babylon back in 516 BC. These are actually Babylonian names of month, and since then they adopted these names. But originally in the Bible they were numbered. And the question we ask, why were they numbered? There's a beautiful truth attached to this. Perhaps by remembering the number of each day, one will keep the memory of the seventh day. From the first to the sixth day, the anticipation increases until at last we take a breath with God. It is the same with the numbering of the months. The first month, the new year, brought the Israelites to remember the deliverance from Egypt and the means through the blood of the Lamb. The first month demarcates when the birth of the nation took place. That is why it is first. For us, it reminds us again of the moment of our salvation. And looking at the days of creation, one crucial question we might ask is, why did God take 6 days to work and then rested on the seventh day when he could have created everything ex nihilo, everything out of nothing in a very instant? Could he have set that example for us? He created the world by setting an example for us, 6 days work and 1 day Shabbat. This is why what Yeshua said concerning the Shabbat. The Shabbat was made for man, not man for the Shabbat. Unfortunately, some have attached wrong precepts on the Shabbat, both in Judaism and in some segment of Christianity. Many have idolized it and loaded it with so many other concepts and laws. This has caused many to have an aversion actually on the Shabbat because of all these legalistic injunctions. But there is so much beauty on the Shabbat that we need to salvage. And we can do that, of course, with the help of the Word of God. And there's something else that we read in Genesis which became so difficult for many in rabbinical Judaism to interpret. Something I believe Yeshua explains for us. The passage is found in Genesis 2:2. Let's look at it again. The Lord says, by the seventh day, or it is written, by the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Can you see a problem there? It reads that God completed his work on the seventh day, which means that he worked on the seventh day. One famous rabbi, Rashi, noticed, he wrote, it appears as if by the time he finished his work on the creation, it was already the Shabbat. That means he worked on the Shabbat. This is what the Hebrew conveys. Even the Septuagint, the Bible translated into Greek by the 70 rabbis in the 3rd century, they actually changed the seventh day for the sixth day. And they said, and God finished on the sixth day his work which he made and ceased on the seventh day. They could not figure out how God could work on the seventh day. But this should not be a problem for us. Yeshua said that he and the Father are always working. Do you remember? For the simple reason that sin never ceased. In John 5, after Yeshua healed the lame man on the Shabbat day, the religious leaders accused him of breaking the Shabbat. But see what he said. My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. John 5:17. He tells them that they are so engulfed in their man-made laws that they overlook the fact that God always works his redemptive miracles on the Shabbat and every day. Satan has no Shabbat. Evil never rests. This is why the priests at the temple never stop. You know, they sacrifice on the Shabbat. You know, I told this to a Jewish friend of mine this past week. He couldn't believe it. The Father and the Son are both working in saving souls 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, including the Shabbat. And ironically, it was on the Shabbat that one will find more priests present at the temple than any other day. First, two extra priests were on hand to change the breads at the holy place because it was changed every Shabbat. Plus, the Shabbat was the time when the priest rotated. The outgoing priest offered the morning sacrifices and the incoming priest course the evening sacrifices. This is what Josephus tells us. So both courses of priests found themselves at the temple on the Shabbat. It was a very busy place then on the Shabbat. The Talmud itself complained about it, about all the laws that were put in there, just like we see it in the New Testament. It's written in the Mishnah, the laws of the Shabbat, festal offerings and sacrileges, lo, they are like mountains hanging by a string, for they have little scriptures for many laws. Many, many laws and a few scriptures to sustain them, that is, their own words. They divided, by the way, their additional laws on the Shabbat into 39 divisions. And one of them said that all these 39 divisions amounts to 1,521 laws, which actually is 39 times 39. But who knows the exact amount that they added. But one addition is way too much. And so when they accused Yeshua of breaking the Shabbat, they were wrong. He never broke the Mosaic law. What he broke is their Shabbat. Now, this is important. There's something about the placement of the Shabbat in the Ten Commandments that is revealing and will lead us to see what it could mean to us today. The Shabbat is what divides the Ten Commandments into the two parts. It comes right after the first three laws, which speak of a relationship with God, and the six others, which describe that is the way we ought to live and love our neighbors. Three for God, six for men, three being the number of God and six the number of men. But see that the Shabbat stands in between like a link, a bridge, a bond that is renewed every week, but which extends way further than the 24-hour rest. And see that the Shabbat is given such an important place here. For it is among those non-ceremonial, eternal laws. Now let's dig deeper and see why it is so important. Now, at the beginning, we ask a question. If the Lord sanctified the Shabbat at the creation, but only gave the commandment to follow in Exodus 20 and to Israel only, we ask, how could such an important idea be found in between the creation and Sinai? And once the law was fulfilled, we also ask, how could such an important concept be found afterwards in the New Testament? And also, as we read from Colossians 2:17, that the Shabbat day is a shadow of that things to come, but the substance belongs to the Messiah. Where does the Shabbat project us to, and how is its substance further found in Yeshua? Let us begin to answer this question by looking into a couple of Shabbat Psalms. We'll start with this. This will lead us into the heart of the New Testament. These beautiful Psalms, for there are many, will help us to see the essence of the Shabbat, bringing our hopes to the past and future redemption, and which then makes our present moment here even great to live. And it is with the Ten Commandments and in Leviticus 23, many of the Shabbat Psalms brings us back to the creation and forward to the Messianic era. One famous one, we'll start with Psalm 92. Some say it was written by Moses. Others say it's David. But ancient Jewish commentators, as the Targums of Psalms, says that it must have been written by Adam. Why? After he heard of the Shabbat and contemplated the great work of the creation, this is, they believe, what he wrote. This psalm was sung at the temple every Shabbat. Every day, by the way, they sang a psalm. And this one is the seventh, and it became customary to sing it also in the synagogue Shabbat. If you would like to know the order of the psalms, as we read them before during the worship, which were read at the temple from Sunday to Shabbat, here they are on the screen. Maybe you would like to read one psalm a day in your own reading and follow what they did in the second temple times. These are the psalms in order: 24, 48, 82, 94, 81, and 93. And to finish with the seventh, Psalm 92. But why was this Psalm 92 chosen again? Perhaps also because of its great description of God's creation and fellowship with Him. It begins with the words, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, for such is the spirit of the Shabbat." It is called in different midrashim like a psalm for the world to come, for the day which will be entirely Shabbat and rest in eternal life. It is from this psalm that some rabbinical commentators came out with the idea that the world will last 6,000 years and the 7,000 will be a Shabbat. You know, they're about right when you consider the Bible's calendar. And it must have been chosen because you know that the name of the Lord in there is mentioned seven times. That made this Shabbat to be read every Shabbat, each mention of God covering a day of the week. And the last is the Shabbat. And the last mention of the Lord says to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. That again is the spirit of the Shabbat. Another Shabbat psalm that is linked with creation is Psalm 29. It is called Mizmor Le David, a psalm of David. This one is chanted on the Shabbat before the evening service and in the morning service when the scroll of the law actually open up. This psalm was chosen because it emphasizes on the voice of the Lord and the majesty of God. Seven times in this psalm, David repeats the expression, "Call Adonai, the voice of the Lord." And the first one brings us right to the creation when it says, "God's voice is upon the waters." If you you remember in Genesis. Then the rest speaks of his splendor. God's voice is in strength, is in beauty. It shatters the cedars, hews with flames of fire. God's voice makes the desert tremble. God's voice strips the forest bare. It is from this that the seven blessings of the Shabbat prayer was chosen. The seven mention of God's voice correspond to the seven calls, voices of this psalm. And in there we find 18 mentions of God's name and many attributes, the daily synagogue prayers, right? The 18 blessings taken from this psalm. But why am I showing you these psalms? See how the spirit of the Shabbat is brought in both as they bring us from the creation to the world to come. This must be what we ought to remember, as this is such a driving force for believers when we know where we're going, when we know where we're coming from. And there's another psalm, an important one, which reveals much about the essence again of the Shabbat. It is Psalm 95, which speaks of the rest of God. This psalm is divided into two parts. The first is an invitation to be with God. It begins with the words, "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." It also brings the reader to contemplate the creation. We read in verse 3, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, and his whose hands are the depth of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land." But then the second part of the psalm, and this is what's important, contains a warning against unbelief and disobedience. And there is mentioned one word, rest, the word rest. The psalm ends by recounting the disobedience of those Israelites in the wilderness. There the Lord says, "Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter my rest." What rest is the Lord referring to? Another rest, the Shabbat of all Shabbats that awaits all believers in heaven after this life. It is this rest that the book of Hebrews quotes in Hebrews 3, and which also speaks of a future Shabbat for the people of God today, believing Jews and believing Gentiles. There he says, in Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 10, "So there remains a Shabbat rest for the people of God." This is a Shabbat, actually, that we ought to remember. "For the one," he says, "for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his," referring to the creation. Here the writer uses the word for Shabbat, the Hebrew word Shabbat, here for the future rest. Hebrews 3 and 4 sees God's Shabbat as beginning at the moment when creation work ceased, ongoing to the present time, and ending right in the future. But see that the writer of Hebrews associates faith with Shabbat. Because the Israelites did not believe, they could not enjoy the Shabbat. Because today many do not believe, they cannot enjoy the rest of God. But we also learn that many enjoy this rest from God before they reach heaven. And this cloud of witnesses that the Hebrews calls, who seems to have experienced the spirit of the Shabbat before the law was given, is listed for us in Hebrews 11, which is the chapter of faith, and also one which describes well for us, again, the spirit and the essence of the Shabbat. It is in the same book of Hebrews chapter 11 where we can see the purest taste, the purest enjoyment of the future Shabbat and even the present Shabbat that the Lord will give us. When we read chapter 11, we have there the chapter of faith again, as the writer mentions so many people of faith. One realizes that common denominator, okay, of them all, they were all what? Waiting for that city whose architect and builder is God. That is, they were experiencing this hope of the Shabbat always, every single day, having it in them. And furthermore, most of the people mentioned there are those who lived before the law was given. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses' parents. All these did not even have the Shabbat laws, but knew about the rest they would have in God, a rest which is brought about the belief in God and about that faith that he gives us. Even Moses. Hebrews 11 speaks about the things he did before he gave the Mosaic Law. He chose to identify with Israel. He left Egypt and he kept the Passover. To this cloud of witness, we can include Rahab, who did not know the Mosaic Law. This is the spirit, by the way, of the Shabbat in the hearts of these men and women. They understood it. Remembering the past and the future and the present then will become so much better. In one Midrash on Psalm 92, one asked the question, why did God create on the seventh day since he worked? Another answered and said, he created the day of the Shabbat that night time never reaches. And he said, notice that for each creation it is written, and there was evening and there was morning, one day. But concerning the Shabbat, there was never an evening. Such is the Shabbat. More on this great subject when we meet next week. You know, to conclude, let us remember the comforting words of the Messiah, those we started with in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word labor speaks of worries. It speaks of trouble. When we experience these things, Jesus says that he is waiting for us to give us that Shabbat time. The other word, heavy laden, is one word in Greek and speaks of burden, of loads. But the way it is translated in the Septuagint is very revealing. There, this word is used for the offering, for the sacrifices brought to the altar of the temple. Perhaps Yeshua was giving a preview of the benefit of his death and all that he has taken on himself. Perhaps because we often feel that we need to go up the cross ourselves. But here Yeshua reminds us that he did already. And the proper thing to do is to go and get rest in him. Come to me and I will give you rest. Let us pray. Let us give praise to God on high. He is blessed and is to be blessed. For no one is like you. For you are great in holiness and doing wonderful things. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, and the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is great, powerful, and revered, the God most high, the Lord of heaven and earth, our shield, and the shield of our fathers, the God who increases our faithfulness in every generation. Blessed are you, O Lord, for you are the shield of Abraham, and you are the shield of everyone who humbly comes to you with a repentant heart. And so, Lord, this morning we ask that you bless each and everyone present here and each and everyone who is listening or watching. Put your healing hand over those who are sick and who are looking to you for healing. Rest your spirit on those who are hurting, who are going through difficult times. Give them hope and joy. Rest your salvation on those who desire it and who are not saved yet. Let them come to see and to taste who Yeshua is. And to the congregation, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will he renege any of the promises he has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you and Shalom.